Fantastic. And I'm going to just talk about discipleship. God gave me three principles about discipleship. Before I start, I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you for this opportunity. And I pray that the word that goes forth will fall on good ground. And that we will be, my God, doers of your word. And that it will be thought-provoking in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was preparing this, something came to my mind. And I was sharing it with Damien. And I was just couldn't stop laughing. Question came to me, and God says, throw it out to the church, this question. And I thought, I can't do that. And I said to David, do you think I can do that? He said, do it. And I was laughing. I was in the library, and I was creasing off, people looking at me, but I was laughing. And the question that I'm going to ask you, you don't have to answer it, but just think about it. Who desires to be fat? Okay, only a few of us desire to be fat. But I'm just here to tell you three key principles that fat people make the best disciples. So if you're writing that down, I want you to write that down. Fat people make the best disciples. And this is just three key principles. It's an acronym for faithful, available, and teachable. Okay, so I want you to write that down. There's three principles. Do I desire to be fat? What is faithful? It's being true to the cause. Who is true to their cause? What is the cause? And if you turn to Psalms 37, verse 23, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. So the first principle is being faithful. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. And if you're writing these down, this is something to look back on. These are some stones to give to you, some precious stones. Proverbs 28, verse 20. I've got a lot of scriptures. The trustworthy person will get a rich reward, but a person who wants quick riches will get into trouble. We must be faithful. Question that I'll throw to you is, who are you following? We should be following the Most High, who we've just been praising today. We should be following him, the great compass. But are we following him? Are we faithful to him? Revelations 2 verse 10 says, don't be afraid of what you are about to suffer. And Pastor Kevin was just talking about it before, about suffering. The devil will throw some of you into prison to test you. You will suffer for 10 days. And here's a but. But if you remain faithful, underline that if you're writing it down. If you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you a crown of life. And that's a promise. So it's important that we remain faithful. 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 5 says, may the Lord lead your hearts into a full understanding and an expression of the love of God and the patient endurance that comes from Christ. We're going to suffer many things. We go through many things. But it's about enduring to the end because you are going to get that crown of righteousness. And it's about it walking in integrity. A key word there. Integrity. Who am I when I'm at work? Who am I when I'm at church? When I'm going back home? Am I the same person? Have I got 10 faces? When I'm at home, when I went to Birmingham weekend, no one knows what I was up to, no one knows what I was doing, but was I the same person that I am in church? When I'm at uni, wherever I am I the same person? When we're facing things in different situations, are we the same? It's important to have integrity. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. I know, my God, that you examine my heart and rejoice when you find integrity there. So that's important to have integrity because God rejoices when we have integrity. You know, I have done all this with good motives. And I had to pause there. Sometimes we do things. Do we do it because we've been told to do it? Do we do it to please others, to please man? We need to check our hearts. When we're doing things, we've got to check our motives. and they've got to be pure, they've got to be right. And it says, I have watched your people offer their gifts willingly and joyously. When we're told to do things, when we do things, are we doing it willingly? Or do we have long faces? Sometimes I do. But I try to be like, yes, okay. And I've learned something, a very good key to learn is if it's not profitable, I was sharing this with Anita, keep your mouth closed. So that was about me, not about Anita. So Proverbs 10 verse 9 says, people with integrity walk safely. So it's important that we have integrity. Why? Because we will walk safely. But those who follow the crooked path will slip and fall. It's not saying it may be or not sure, maybe, depends on what you do. You will slip and you will fall. So it's important to have integrity. The next available key that I have here for you, so the first one was faithful. The next one is being available. We sing this song, I can't remember it now, Lord, I'm available, and we've got our hands up and we're crying, I'm available. But when someone asks you to do something, are you available or are you busy? Sometimes I like to use that I'm busy, but it doesn't work. Sometimes we say we don't have time. But are we just making excuses? We must invest in people. It's important to invest in people's lives, to make that time, because it's important. Hebrews 13, verse 16 says, I don't forget to do good and to share with those in need. These are the sacrifices. Key word there, sacrifices. When we're spending time with people, when we're making ourselves available, it's a sacrifice. But it says it pleases God. So check yourselves. Am I being available? Or am I always making excuses? Am I busy? Yeah, I'm busy. Oh, let me just check my calendar. Oh, how about July the 28th? We can meet each other. No, make time, which is really, really important. And as I was going through this, as a disciple, we have to be willing to be challenged. Are we willing to be challenged? I know 5 years ago, I would not be standing up here because I would have just told you no. But God has stretched me. He's challenging me and he's still continuing to challenge me. Are you willing to be used by God? A lot of us have gifts, we have talents, but we're sitting on them. We can expand, we can grow if we use our talents and our gifts that God has given us. So it's important. So I'm looking out for children's chapel workers. So be ready to be used and directed and be open to God's calling and service. That's really important. Mark 12, verse 30 to 31. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these. And the last key that I'm going to give you is T. What did I say it stands for? Teachable. Fantastic. We have to be teachable. We all have something to learn. We can learn from others. It's really important to be teachable. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. Their work is to watch over your souls and they are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly not be for their benefit. So it's really important to have that teachable heart, that teachable spirit. Sometimes, yeah, I know. We always think we have the answers. We always think we know everything, but we don't. We've got a lot to learn. So it's really important to be teachable. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 is my last scripture. You have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass on to others. So when we've learned something, it's really important to pass it on to other people. So I'll leave with you. Do you desire to be fat? Thank you.
Teacher Tanya, Lady T, that's her nickname, if anybody knows, Lady T. And she is a teacher. She's gifted in that area, not only talented, but she's gifted. The Lord has gifted her to teach. Let me just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just commit this part of the service to you, God. I pray that you will help me to communicate what you've placed upon my heart, Lord. I ask you, Father, that your Holy Spirit will counsel, confirm, lead into truth, comfort, whatever is needed, Holy Spirit. You know what is needed in this room. And I just ask you that you, Father, will just do what you want to do. I'll give you free reign in the name of Jesus. Amen. And the scripture I'm going to read from is Matthew 11:28. And 11:28 to 30. And it says, "Then Jesus said, 'Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light.'" Here is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus was the greatest teacher that ever walked this earth. Jesus, hello, Carmel and Dave. Welcome back. Yay! And Jesus still is the greatest teacher. And he does that through his Holy Spirit, that he leaves with us, that comes and dwells within us when we become believers. He leaves the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit becomes our teacher. So even though Jesus was the greatest teacher on this earth, still to this day, he is the greatest teacher. And Jesus, when he was teaching his disciples and teaching, he was teaching about himself. His subject was always about himself. What a trip. I think I know a few people like that, actually. When you speak to them, it's like, okay, the subject's about you again. No, and sometimes we do, don't we? We, you know. So Jesus spoke a lot about himself. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the door. I am the resurrection, and I am the life." He is his own subject. See, many, many great teachers stand out for a few reasons. Now think back to a teacher that you had that stood out. And I think back when I was in junior school, I had a teacher called Mr. Osborne. And when I was in junior school, I didn't speak. I stopped speaking for quite a long time. And all I would do is nod my head. And I got picked on at school, and that's why I stopped speaking. And Mr. Osborne, I don't know what he did, but he used to really encourage me as a little girl. And he used to value me as a person, and he brought the best out in me. And I'll always remember Mr. Osborne, because he made an impression upon me. He gave of himself. He didn't just give a teaching, and then it was just a teaching in a classroom. He gave something else that made an impression upon me. And any good teacher will do that. They'll give of themselves. And Jesus Christ gave of himself. He made a difference and has made a difference in all of our lives. And he said, Jesus said, "The words that I have spoken unto you are spirit and are life." We must be teachable by the Lord Jesus Christ. We must be empty, weak, foolish in our own eyes, and just nobody, actually. That is the resume that the Lord asks us to come. It says in the Bible that he uses the foolish things of the earth to confound the wise. And I always wondered why he does that. And it's because that they're pliable, open, teachable. They're fat. They're available for less of them and more of him, that he can pour himself into. We are in the school of Jesus Christ. And it is a life that is not of selfish ambition. Now, I found this truth out today, and I just absolutely loved it. The Bible, it talks about a disciple as a learner. We've heard that. It's Disciple Month. I think we've probably heard so much about discipleship. It's like, right, okay, what can we talk about? A disciple is a learner, and it is somebody, there is another, it talks about being a follower. It also talks about someone who understands. And but if you go back even further, before the Greek, the Bible was wrote in Aramaic. And the word disciple for Aramaic is an apprentice. And I just absolutely loved it. I was like, yes, an apprentice. And the difference between an apprentice and a student, for example, if you're sat in a college or a uni and you're being lectured at, Jesus doesn't lecture. He demonstrates. And the way that he teaches is that we're the apprentices. And the way that apprentice, if you look at it in the dictionary, it's someone who learns a trade or a skill. But they don't learn it in the classroom. It's like if you were learning carpentry or metal, I don't know, whatever. And you would be there doing it. And then you'd maybe hit your thumb and you'd learn, but you know, trial and error. And in the Bible with the disciples, that's what Jesus did. He taught them practically. Everything he did was to teach them and to build their faith. So as disciples and disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, he then pours into us so that we then would be able to teach other people. You can never, ever become a discipler unless you learn how to be discipled under him. You will never submit to a person unless you learn to submit to him. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can try, but unless you learn submission to the Lord, you would never come under somebody. The disciples were apprentices to Jesus, and it is one who works for another in order to learn a trade. A student is someone who learns in the classroom. An apprentice learns hands-on. It's practical. It's a school of life. And he was training his disciples for work. So it's not about sitting and talking about the work. It's not sitting and talking about scripture. And they had the scribes to do that and the Pharisees. And there's many Christians today that will sit in a classroom and or sit somewhere and they will talk about what needs to be done, how it should be done, splitting this scripture, splitting this. And actually all they are Pharisees and scribes. Because really what Jesus wants people to do is get their hands dirty. What Jesus wants people to do is go and touch other people's lives. That's what he wants us to do. So he's trying to teach the disciples by doing miracles that this is what I'm training you for. I have 3 years and I have only got 3 years to speak to you guys. You need to catch it and you need to catch it good. Because when I go, that's it. It's done. Imagine if we only had 3 years. We only had 3 years and then every single one of us were launched out to a city. Can you imagine that? You'd be really quickly like, you know, okay, I'm at everything. You know, what time? When the walk's on, okay, prayer meeting. Okay, when do we have a prayer meeting this morning? 5 o'clock, come on, yeah. Because you'd be out doing it. You'd be gutted. You'd be scared. You'd be like, oh my gosh, trepidation. You won't be in the comfort of your front room. You wouldn't be in the comfort of, you would be like, you know what? I'm going out there and I need to learn pretty quick. And that's what Jesus was like. He was out there with the disciples everywhere he went, apart from when he went alone to pray, he took someone with him. And I've always learned that. That's why even when I'm picking the kids up, and sometimes it's hard to have someone with you all of the time. And especially people that are baby Christians. They ask questions. They ask awkward questions. What is tongues? I was in the garden today and someone, a very new convert, was saying to me, what is tongues? What do you mean? How does it start? And you know, and as a Christian, you're like, you think, oh, that is a really awkward question. Can you ask me another one, please? You know, can I just go inside and get a sandwich? Because I don't actually want to talk about that at the moment. But you can't. They need to know. They need to know your experience. They need to know hands-on, touching. This is what it's like, real life discipleship. And that's what Jesus was teaching them. He was demonstrating. And we need to take people with us and demonstrate this is life. Not just in the church hall, whatever this is, not just everywhere, anywhere. This is a lifestyle. And everything we do is about the Lord. So he taught them and he brought them into actual situations. And that's what God does with us, you know. Sometimes we think we come in this door and this is church, but he takes us through every situation of our life and he uses it to teach us. Unless you know that the sovereignty of God is working within your life, in your jobs, in your unis, in the home, in what, as a mother, as a whatever it is, you have to know it in his sovereignty that you are in the school of Jesus Christ. And every single thing is being used to train you for your future that he has for you. Every single thing he is training you. And so he took them into actual situations and taught them how to deal with it. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. And sometimes we think that as a disciple or learning how to disciple others, that we need to give them something new. We don't. If you are a child of God, born of his Spirit, I don't care whether it's 5 minutes, 5 years, or 50 years, you have the Holy Spirit, which says to me that no matter who the person is, if someone's discipling you, all they should be doing is confirming what God is already showing you. There is nothing new. The Holy Spirit will confirm to you, yeah, it will bear witness. Bear witness is the Holy Spirit bearing witness and saying, yes, that's what I've been feeling. Really, what shouldn't be happening is something extremely new. You're like, well, it shouldn't be. You're a child of God. We're a part of a body. We're moving in the same direction. It shouldn't really be anything new. In this scripture, it says, 1 John 2:27, but you have received the Holy Spirit, and he lives within you. So you don't need anyone to teach you what is true. He will lead you into all truth. For the Spirit teaches you everything that you need to know. What he teaches is true. It is not a lie. So just as he has taught you, remain in fellowship with Christ. You see, it is our responsibility to remain in fellowship with Christ. And all really people should be coming alongside. Now, the difference between somebody that can lead you somewhere you haven't been, that's very different. Because it means that they have gone through some. They've gone through a test and now they have a testimony. Which means they have the keys to having gone through and overcame. And that's where anointing comes from. That's where authority comes from. You have people that have gone through things. They've become not bitter, but better. They're a fragrance, not a stench. Which means they must have gone through in the right way. So they've got something that they can teach you. That's all it is. They're only a couple of steps in front of you. That's the only difference. And all they can do is just say, you know what, if you do this, then this will happen. But as far as the Holy Spirit is concerned, we should all be just being confirmed into what God is doing. If God is calling you and he has a purpose for your life, really, God would already have been preparing you for that. And so when someone preaches or someone prays for you, they're just actually speaking those things and confirming those things that God has already been showing you. I want to say just there's a few stages to discipleship. The first stage is the call. We are all called. The Bible says, for God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God wants all to be saved. Not one person he does not want to be saved. The multitudes, it says, If I go back to the cost of being a disciple, it says a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, if you want to be my disciple, you must hate everyone else by comparison, your father and your mother, your wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you cannot be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be the disciple. Now, the call is very, very different than when you read that scripture. Because for me, when I read that scripture very early on in my walk, I couldn't digest that. I could not. That scripture is Luke 14:25. I could not deal with that scripture. And one of the reasons why I couldn't deal with it is I could not believe that God was asking me in that context to leave my mum, to leave my children, and that, You know, and so for years, I've mulled on that scripture. Sometimes you don't understand scriptures, and it's all right to be honest with it. But over the years, I've come to realize what that scripture means. And it's not that he's asked dividing you. What he's saying is he needs to be first in your life. What he's saying is unless he's first, then any one of those people that he's speaking about can become a stumbling block to you. Our families can become a stumbling block. Has anybody ever gone back to their family's house? Most of my family are not saved. We go back, most of Paul's family are not saved. And we go back there and you feel like the oddball. You feel like Mr. or Mrs. Strange. Weird. And you sit there and it's like, oh, right, so I never fitted in then. I really don't fit in now. So where does that leave me? Even more rejected than I was before. Hello. So it's like you're in this situation where you're just like, what is this? That is what it means. It means that God has to be your Lord. And you're going to suffer for his name. You're going to suffer in your family situations if they're not saved. Even if they are saved. There's different degrees of how people follow the Lord. Some people's level of commitment is very, very different. So you can have nominal believers that are going to heaven, nothing wrong with it, but their commitment level is very minimal. So you might go round to your mum who's born again, saved, on the way to heaven, and they might say to you, oh, you've been at church again? You're going a little bit over the top now. You know, when there's one thing like, you know, you're a Christian, but there's another thing. It's like, you're sleeping in the church. What is going on with you? You need to sort it out. And you're giving them all your money. Right, okay. So there's different levels of commitment. And we all know that. We know that we're radical. Are we radical in this place? And when I was in worship, do you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? There's a scripture that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And I used to trip on that too. I used to be like, that's not right. That's just not right, that one. Lord, I don't like that one. What do you mean there's many called, but few are chosen? That's a little bit selective, Lord. Don't like that. Don't like that at all. And I'd be like, but I know what it, I've got understanding on that now. And what it is, many are called, but few are chosen. Because there are not many people that will lay their lives down for the call and the cost of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they want comfort. They want to live their lives for themselves. They want to build their own kingdom. And they do not want to lay their life down and pick up their cross on a daily basis. That is why few are chosen and many are called. It's because not many, when they look at the cost, they're like, I don't know about that. That's a little bit. I've done it. You'll come to many crossroads in your life where you look at it again. And it's good to do it. You've got to count the cost. You've got to look at it because there's no point going into something and halfway through going, can't do this. Because if you do that, then you will damage a lot of people. So you've got to count the cost that when you go to build something, that you've got the goods to fulfill and go through and endure. No matter what comes your way, you've got to endure and you've got to go through. And that's not an easy thing when you're going through stuff. That's not an easy thing, because it would be easy to, you know, lay down and get under a duvet and go to sleep. But God is calling us to, who said hello? Was that someone from the men's zone saying hello then? Oh, Pastor Kevin, he's ready for his duvet. Yeah. So the calling is the multitudes. In that scripture we heard in the beginning, that multitudes came to the Lord. You know, in this church, multitudes come and go. There'll always be multitudes, always. But in the worship, the Holy Spirit said, there are people chosen in this room. I didn't say that. The Holy Spirit said that. There are chosen people in this church that are prepared to go all the way for Jesus. And the second thing, so the first is the call, so we get saved. The second is the choice. You've got to choose, right? When it's... See, he says God chooses you to go and bear fruit. It's not of yourself. But the thing is even though he chooses you, you can still choose to walk away. It's still your choice. Everything you do is still your choice. It is free will. It's free will. Your will. I could go today, go out and do whatever I want. I can. I've got no one to stop me. And I love that. I just loved coming into Christianity because no one was telling me I couldn't do anything. I really could go and do what I wanted. And Jesus would still love me. How about that one? That tripped me. That was like, wow. That should set you free right there, that one. You really can. You've got a choice. Go and do what you want. He'd still love you. Like I say to my children, it doesn't matter how naughty you are, I love you. I don't like what you're doing, but I love you. And it's so important for you to know that God loves you. He sometimes doesn't like what we do, but he loves you. And that's an amazing thing. That love will set you free. When you grow in the love of Jesus Christ, it is unconditional. It is unfailing. It is a love that reaches to the heavens. It is a love that will completely melt the hardest heart. The love of God. It really is. For me, that's what set me free, the love of God. And it is a process, because in the beginning, I didn't feel any love, and I didn't love anyone, and I didn't love God. And that's why he first loved you, because he knew that you couldn't love him. I didn't love it. I was like, love? They wanted me to go and speak to the prostitutes on the street. I was like, why would I want to go and speak to those drug addicts? I have just come from a mad life. The last place Deborah Nurse had me out, ill, on the streets, speaking to women. And I'd be like, why on earth would I have no love for these people. I don't even like them, to be honest. That's what I came in like. And you've got to keep it real, you know. You've got to keep this thing real. Because the Bible says it's about reality. If it's not reality, it's religion. There's no fine line in the middle. We got to be real. We got to keep this thing real. And if you don't feel love, you don't feel love. But process. It's my double act over there. Come on, Deb. Simple as that. That's it. You know what? But as you go on with the Lord, he starts to do something in your heart. He starts to put a love. He starts to put a compassion. He starts to put a hunger. And you know it's him, because you never had anything to give. And if it's him doing it, because there's nothing good in you or me, nothing that pleases him. You might think it's good, and in the world, status-wise, it's pretty good. But as far as he's concerned, your righteousness is as filthy rags. It's stenchy to him. And that's a hard one. That's a hard pill to swallow, that one. It's like, that's a hard one. So it's our choice. Many are called, but few are chosen. So why are so few chosen? Because they are not prepared to lay down their lives, because there's a cost. And the cost is, but let's read the end of that scripture in Luke 28. It says, but don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everybody would laugh at you. I was like, I've never read that before. Yeah, we don't want everyone laughing at us now, do we? No. So there is a cost that we have to count, and that is why the cost is hard work. Sometimes the cost is painful. Sometimes you'll go through persecution, you'll go through ridicule, you'll go through rejection. You'll go through suffering. You might even go through depression and sickness. As a Christian? Yeah. You better know the truth. And the truth really will set you free. Because things do happen to Christians. But God gives us an overcoming spirit. He says he's given, we will overcome with the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. He never said that we won't go through stuff. He said that we will have trouble, but he has overcome the world. So prepare yourself, arm yourself for war, because it's a battle that you're in. And I don't know about you, but I want foot soldiers with me. We're in this together. I want people that know their Lord and that go and do great exploits for his honor and for his glory. It takes commitment. That's my fourth one. Commitment. Now there's a biggie. That word commitment. We go through a lot of stuff. It says in Matthew 10:38, if you refuse to take up your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of being mine. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for me, you will find it. Anyone who receives me and anyone who receives me receives the Father who sent me. If you give up your life, you will find it. And that is something that I can testify to, that I have laid down my life. I'm still in the process of, you know, keep daily. That's why I love the way that God keeps it. He keeps it real. He keeps it simple. Pick up your cross daily. And he does that because he knows that if we think about the future too much, it's overwhelming. So he says, pick up your cross daily. Bear the cross. Pick up your daily. Go to him daily. Continue to talk to him. Bear your, give him your burdens. And in the in that first scripture that I read out to you, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Have you ever been really, really burdened? I've been before so burdened that I've just been so burdened. And he knows his children. He knows we get burdened. He knows it's a struggle for us sometimes. And he says, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you. Have you ever been taught by the Lord? Have you ever been counseled by the Holy Spirit? I was explaining again to somebody today, is I have been counseled by the Holy Spirit 2 generations from here. That probably doesn't make sense to you. But my father, I had a very difficult relationship with my father, pretty much non-existent, actually. And the thing is my father was unable to love. And the reason he was unable to love, I could never understand it, and I held a lot of resentment towards him. And in prayer one day, I had whatever you want to call it, an open vision, a closed vision, whatever vision, and the Lord showed me my father as a child and the way he was raised as a boy by his father and the abuse that he had. And literally, I saw it in the vision. It was like something hit my heart, and the compassion and the brokenness I felt for my father, that everything he hadn't given me and everything that he'd done to me, it was like I had this overwhelming. I was praying for him. I'm like, Lord, save him. The compassion and the forgiveness. Up until that point, I had a real barrier with my father. And I say that because the Holy Spirit, the counselor, the comforter, he could give you one word and it will set you free. One word and it will change your perspective on a situation. And it says you go to him because he wants to teach you. He's gentle, he's humble. One of the things the Holy Spirit's been showing me lately about mothering my children is one of the things he said to me, have you ever heard me scream and shout at you, Vicky? I'm thinking, I'm sure you have. I'm sure I heard you tell me to shut up one day, Lord. But it definitely didn't shout at me, but he definitely told me to shut my mouth. And it was in love, but he definitely did. And it was about Paul. And he did. He told me to be quiet. And I know he did. But he has never shouted at me. And he said that because sometimes as mothers, you find that you can get frustrated. It's like, oh, just go in there. Why? And the Lord is like, I'm your parent. I'm your father. I've never screamed at you like that. So you've got to imitate me. And what do you think your children are doing? They're going to imitate you because you're screaming and shouting. And so God will teach you how to be a parent. He will, day by day, as you walk with the Holy Spirit, he speaks. He speaks in that still small voice. And he'll just say something. And it'll be like, wow, okay. It's like everything I've been going through. He keeps saying to me, trust me, it's a process. I'm like, but Lord, no, I don't like that process. Surely it's not right. That's not right. And I have this dialogue. Sometimes I don't hear it from him for weeks. And then all of a sudden, he'll just come in and it'll just be like refreshing. And that's the relationship he wants with you. He wants to teach you. He wants to comfort you. He wants to counsel you. He wants to rebuke you. He wants to correct you. Have you ever been corrected by the Lord? And he didn't even shout. I've been corrected by the Lord many, many times. He's never shouted at me, you know, but corrected me. And he said things like to me, no, you need to go and do that. No, I don't want to do that. No, you need to go and speak to that person. No, I don't want to speak to that person. Why should I have to speak to that person? I don't want to speak to that person. If you don't speak to that person, Vicky, go and speak to that person. And I have this dialogue. And when I speak to the person, when you obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, something happens. I'm telling you, that is the key. Obedience brings the blessing. Obedience. If you were to say, your relationship with the Lord. When you hear his voice, do it. Hear his voice, do it. No matter how stupid it seems, do it. And you know what? You'll grow. It will be amazing. So the Holy Spirit is the one who teaches you. And then as you teach, he teaches you, then you are able to teach others. You can never lead somewhere, one, where you've never been. And if you've ever tried to do it, it's been very, very difficult. It's difficult to lead someone because you'll flounder. You'll be like, well, I think you do that, rah, 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 rah. And you can feel there's no power, there's no anointing. Have you ever had somebody trying to tell you something that you know there's no weight in what you're saying? You don't know what you're talking about. You're just reading that from a textbook. You have been told that and now you're repeating it. And you can feel the weight of what they're saying and what they're not saying. But when you get around someone that's been through a few things, there is an anointing upon their life. There is power and authority in their life. And you can feel it. It's like an authority that will set you free because they've been there. And it's a wonderful thing to get around people that have been where you need to go. And that's why Jesus created the church. He created the church so that we would have people that have gone before us and that would be able to teach us which way to go. But he always said that the Holy Spirit needs to be the one who leads you into truth. Test everything. Really, that's what he says. Test everything. Pray continually. We can only pass on what we've gone through. And we need an environment in this church of teachers and learners. Teachers and learners. See, if you've got no learners, you've not got future teachers because they're too prideful to want to learn. So unless you have come under someone, you will never lead anyone. Because unless you can follow, you will never lead. Unless you learn how to come under, you will never ever, because God will not be able to entrust you to lead nothing because you've not come under someone. So he will only take, it's like if you submit to the Lord, you'll find it very easy to submit to somebody else. It comes from your relationship and your intimacy with him. You can stand in here today and we're just going to, there's a few things I want to do with the altar. I know it's early, but I'm one of these people that once I've said what I've got to say, I'm not one that will dribble on. That's it. I'm done, babe. I'm done. I give what God's given me. And I'm not here to give anything else. It says in 2 Timothy, and Tanya said it, you have heard me teach things that have been confirmed by many reliable witnesses. Now teach these truths to other trustworthy people who will be able to pass them on to others. Now, the altar call today is going to be for people who desire to be discipled by the Lord that have struggled in that area. Because it's not easy. If you don't know how to discern the voice of God and how to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is something that's the most important. That's your key right there, getting alone with the Lord. And the easiest thing to do is, and you can play quietly in the background, the easiest thing to do is get alone with the Lord. The easiest thing to do is turn off your television, turn off your phone, and do it really quietly though. Turn off your phone, right? And we can do it, yeah. Turn off every distraction, because there's loads. Turn off your wife, no. Turn off your husband. just turn them on, not turn them on, turn them off, no. Oh, no, turn them off. We need to get alone with God. How do you think you learn how to pray? It's by praying. I was explaining to someone as well the other day. I didn't know how to pray. I really didn't. I didn't know how to talk to God. I didn't want to talk to God. I was like a coiled up spring. I was in pain when I came to the Lord. The last thing I wanted to do is talk to anybody. And one of the things I found really, the only thing I could do when I first came to was write letters to the Lord. And that's what I did. I did that for the first couple of months. I just used to write, dear Jesus, da 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 da. And then I'd quickly rip them up so no one could. So they would have put me away, I'm sure. It was, nutty. Nutty stuff coming out. Because there's a lot of stuff inside us that needs to come out. But if it does not come out, guess where it goes? It stays in. And that's where they say a lot of depression comes from. Inverted anger. Because it's got to come out. It's got to come out. And we can't go around like, even though we do sometimes, we've got to learn how to have self-control. So somehow you've got to learn to communicate those things to the Lord. If you struggle to articulate, then write him letters. Write him letters. Sit there. Learn how to articulate your words to him. And then commit that letter to him. And then rip it up. Get rid of it. But whatever you do, you need to communicate with him. And I said to somebody else, but I feel so burdened. And I said, have you ever just said to the Lord how you're feeling? She said, I don't know what you mean. And I said, okay, I'll give you an example. Today I had a little bit of an argument this morning in a situation. And I went upstairs into the bathroom and I just said, God, forgive me. I really messed up. I'm really angry. I feel really frustrated. And I can't go through this day feeling the way I feel. That's it. Talking to the Lord. Just talking to him. And I don't know how it happens, but if you're a born-again believer, spirit-filled, he lifts those burdens off your shoulder. He starts to take them. And after you've prayed, it's like you feel the same for a while because that's your soul. But you'll walk, and then all of a sudden something changes. The power of prayer. Confess your sins to the Lord. He's faithful, you know. He's faithful, but a lot of time we don't confess. A lot of time we live in our heads. So we talk to the Lord in our heads. And that's all right, because he sees your thoughts. But there's power in confession. There's power in the words that you speak. So when you get your face in a pillow, or however you do it, you get your face and you talk to him. Sometimes I cry out. I'm desperate for you, God. I am so desperate for you, God. I am so desperate for you, God. And I might just say that 10 times, 20 times. Jesus, 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 if you don't do something in my heart, I can't continue. And I scream into a pillow and I cry out until I know in my heart something's changed. And he's faithful, you know. He's faithful. So the first altar call is for people that desire to become a disciple to the Lord and that want to know how he disciples you. The second one is for people that know that they are called and that they are making a declaration to the Lord that, Lord, I know I'm called, I know I'm chosen, and I am stepping out. And I really say this to you, though. Be careful. Don't dedicate what you cannot do. Count the cost. Count the cost, because it's better to have not done that. It really is. Because you don't want to be laughed at halfway done. That's what it said, don't you? Don't want to be laughed at. I don't want to be laughed at. I'm sure you've had a good laugh at me, but I don't. I've gone past the caring of being laughed at. I'm not there now. I'm committed to the call of God in my life. I'm committed. And you know, you will always produce what you are. And I endure suffering for my Lord. And I will carry his name until the day I go on to be with him. And I challenge you, church, to do likewise. This church, I want them to be, this church to be known for committed Christians that are answering the call. So it's going out to you. Think. And then just if you feel like those two things, the desire to become a disciple of the Lord, and for some people that feel they are called and that are making a commitment to the Lord, and they're the two things. Let's just pray, and the altars are open. If you're just feeling the Holy Spirit just starting to tug at you, just come and just speak to him. Speak to him about your fears. Speak to him about your worries. speak to him about your concerns. He wants us to roll our sleeves up, church. This is not going to be a church that sits. We want to get our hands dirty, God. We want to be demonstrators, not lecturers. We're your apprentices, God. We want to work on the job. Oh, hallelujah, Father. Come in your presence, Lord, in an intimate way, Father. Oh, counsel us, oh God. Lead us into truth. Show us your way, Father. Show us, oh, and talk to us, oh God. Instruct us, Holy Spirit. Teach us to pray, dear God. Sometimes we don't know what to say, Father. Oh, we worship you, my God. We need you, Father God. This church needs you. Be the center of our lives, oh God. Be the center of this church, Father God. Oh, let there be disciples, my God. Let them not just be, Father, part of the multitude, but let them be, Father, chosen, committed disciples, oh God, that you will be first in their life. Oh, you are faithful, Father God. I've never met anyone so faithful as you. Oh, we worship you. Just talk to your Father. Abba, Father, call on your Daddy God. He's the only Father that you can completely trust. He'll never fail you. I love my Father. He's my Father and I love him so much. I love you, Father. I love you, Father. You're my Father. I don't have a Father here on this earth. You're my Father. I want to please you, God. I want to live for you, Lord. Oh, I know I mess up, oh God, but I want to live for you. Just tell him that you know you mess up. You know you're lazy. You know you're all those things, but you want to live for him. He can take your life and build you. Thank you. in this place. Oh, the Lord wants you to know that you're calling. There's many of you in this place that God has told you what you're going to be. And I want you to know in this place that it may be a long journey ahead of you, but His calling is irrevocable. He has a calling upon your life in this room. And He wants you to know that you need to press on and you will do the things that He has said that He is going to do in your life. And you will have to endure some hardship and that you will have to go through things. But He will do it. He is faithful. He is faithful. Oh, we thank You for Your faithfulness, dear God. If there's anybody that wants to give their life to the Lord in this place, the Lord wants to call you into His presence, into the best decision that you've ever made in your life. If there's anybody that is in this place that doesn't know the Lord, oh, we thank You, God. We thank You, Father. We thank You, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 We praise You, my God. We praise You, Holy Spirit. We ask You to come and confirm Your word with signs and wonders, to come and confirm Your word, Father God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have seen people in this place. I have seen part of Your future. I have seen people in this place. But all I can do is stand on the sidelines and pray for you, because God has told me who You're gonna be. He has told me things about You, but I have learned that I cannot tell you, that you need to press towards the prize. You need to press towards the heavenly calling. You need to hear from God for yourself. You need to hear from God for yourself. You need to hear and you need to go through. You need to commit. You need to stay faithful. You need to choose Him. You need to go forward. You need to count the cost. Because when you're in an army, you can't afford to have deserters in the camp. We come against backsliding. Let that door be shut in the name of Jesus. Every man and every woman in the homes, the door be shut. Every single person in the church, it is not an option to backslide. It is not an option to walk away. It is not an option, because one day you will have to come back. And one day you will have to come back to the place where you backslid. So there's no point going backwards. There's no point going backwards. Just cry out to God. Just cry out to God. His Holy Spirit is in this place. He's here in power. His anointing is here to break the yokes of bondage and to open blind eyes. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, yes. Let's just sing from my heart to your heart. Just keep singing that verse from our hearts to the heavens. God wants to give you a glimpse.